Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 84, Training for Multi-Day Events. With every passing year, more races expand to multi-day events or multi-race days. If you plan to participate in one of these, in order to succeed, you'll need to modify your training accordingly. And that's what this podcast will be about. But before we get to that, I have a huge favor to ask. It would be a big help to me if you would log into iTunes, go to the Mojo for Running podcast, and leave a review. And those reviews, by the way, can be just one sentence. No problem. One sentence is plenty. I don't say this casually because I realize most of my listeners listen to this podcast via an app on their smartphone, and you probably seldom, if ever, log into iTunes. So please know that if you go to the trouble to take a few minutes to do that, I will really, really appreciate it. I know I've asked this before, but I don't know if I've ever explained why it's so important. You see, this podcast hovers between number 8 and number 10 in the rankings in the running category of, like, I don't know, there's probably 200 running podcasts. And I would really like to see it move up in those rankings. And here's why. A higher ranking means more people will discover this podcast. And since a percentage of listeners register for my online Mojo for Running training program, coaching program, more listeners means more people in the program. And that's what supports this podcast. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast for long, you know that my specialty is coaching people to complete longer distances, whether that's their first 5K, 10K, half marathon, or marathon. But I realize, of course, not everyone is in the market for such a program. Lots of people are happy with the distance they already do, and they're just working on perfecting that. And other listeners have already done a marathon. But if more people listen to the podcast because it's ranked near the top, then I'll be able to reach more people who would be interested in my program. But the only two things that will move it up in the rankings are, one, reviews, and two, for people to subscribe to the podcast. So if you do that, thank you very much. Okay, now to today's topic, multi-race events. I'm seeing more and more of these. Some races have what they call challenges. This might be a 5K and a 10K on the same day, or it might be several races over several days. Here's an example. Here in Tampa, where I live, the biggest running event of the year is the Gasparilla Distance Classic Weekend. That's comprised of a 15K followed by a 5K, both on Saturday, and then a half marathon followed by an 8K on Sunday. A runner can register for just one race or register for one of several challenges. Each one is a combination of two or more races. Recently, I encouraged you to come into this area to do the St. Pete Beach Classic in January. That is comprised of a 5K and 10K on Saturday, followed by a beach run that evening and a half marathon on Sunday. For years, Disney has had their Goofy Challenge and their Dopey Challenge they added a couple of years ago, so you can go to their website and see what those consist of. Lots of people are doing them. They become a lot of these races. Actually, what happens is that the challenges will be the races that sell out first, or at least they do sell out because lots of people are interested. Many large and not so large races are offering such challenges. So I'm sure you can find some in your neck of the woods. Let me interrupt to provide a bit of race history that you might find interesting regarding the different lengths of races that have been popular over the years. Back in the 70s, when running for fitness first became trendy, there were mainly two race distances, the 10K and the marathon. I know many of my listeners weren't even born back then, so that may be of interest. Since we don't have too many 10Ks anymore compared with the popularity of 5Ks and halves. No, back then, if you entered races and you weren't a marathoner, then you were doing 10Ks. After a while, 5Ks started to become popular and very common. And for about a decade, many races offered both 5K and 10K options. But people didn't do both. They did one or the other. That was long before challenges became trendy. Anyway, over time, 5Ks became much more popular than the 10Ks, and it seemed like every organization that wanted to raise money put on a 5K. Marathons have been around all the while, of course, but there were very few halves until long after 5Ks became popular. Then, around the late 90s, halves started to become more and more common. And that trend, as I'm sure you've noticed, continues. As you likely have noted, now it seems once people do their first 5K, they immediately start looking to a half. 8Ks and 15Ks round out the race distances, but are much less common, as are 10Ks these days. Enter the era of the challenge. I have no idea which race director first started this, but it was bound to happen, and in the last several years, they've become increasingly popular as runners reach for new goals and race directors look for marketing opportunities. One of the attractions is that often, if you do a challenge, you take home a medal for each individual race plus an even bigger medal for having completed the challenge. The question is, how should you train for these multi-day events and usually, or multi-day events or multi-race days? Sorry, it was hard to get that out. The answer is to train the same way you'll race. The challenge, obviously, in running a multi-day event is that you'll be running on tired legs for the second race and the third race and so on. If you'll be doing three races on three consecutive days, then build your training around three-day blocks. In that case, you might run on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday every week, doing mostly gentle miles with a harder push on Sunday when you're not saving your energy for the other runs. Then, I would still do a speed session, a speed workout, say on Tuesday or Wednesday of that week. And I, of course, always encourage one or two strength training sessions per week. Yes, I said one or two. Two is better, but one is far, far better than none. Let's say you're training to run a 5K on Thursday, a 10K on Friday, and a half marathon on Sunday. Then build up to almost that, but you don't need to ever actually do that complete mileage because as long as you've gotten close, then you'll be able to put in those extra miles when you're tapered, in the same sense that there's no need for somebody training for a marathon to actually run the 26 miles in training. 18 is just fine because once tapered, you'll be able to add those other 8 miles, especially if you did some of the long runs on tired legs, which I always recommend. So over a period of several months, you might build up to, now this is if you were doing, remember, this is an example for if you were going to do a 5K on Thursday, a 10K on Friday, and half marathon on Sunday. There are a lot of different ways that challenges are set up, so I just thought I would pick one and tell you what I would do to train for it. Then you can extrapolate from that how you could train similarly for whatever challenge you're doing. So over a period of several months, you might build up to 4 miles on Thursday, 6 miles on Friday, and say 10 miles on Sunday. You might be saying, wait a minute, you said we're pretending that you're doing training for a race where you do 5K on Thursday. That's right. But here's the thing. If you can easily do 10 miles, then 3 is really easy. So on Thursday, I would do more than the 5K. I would do 4 or 5 on Thursday, then 6 on Friday and 10 on Sunday. If you've done this kind of thing before, or if you've done many half marathons or marathons, then I'd definitely go ahead and work up to 13 on Sunday or more. That's just an idea. There are many different ways you could train for such an event. The main thing is that your training should be very similar to your race distance and spread over the same number of days. Another good way to train for this type of race would be to build it around races. Maybe early in the season, you do a 5K, then you do around a 10K training run the next day and a longer run the next day. Then a month later, run 3 to 5 miles the day before you do a 10K race, then do a long run the following day. Your legs will be tired, but that will make you stronger. Then a few weeks later, run 3 to 5 miles one day, then run about a 10K the next day, and the next day do a half marathon race. If you do this, I would do it several weeks out from your actual race because you'll need that recovery and taper time. Follow this pattern for any multi-day event. If you have two races on the same day, like a 5K followed by a 10K, then do that in training. Warm up with a couple of easy miles, and yes, that is very important, always, no matter what you're doing. Then do a 5K, but not maxing out. And then do a 10K, and work that one hard. Practice this every week or so, and over time, you'll be able to pick up that pace a bit in the 5K and then run the 10K at a good pace. You'll be more than ready for the race. These key principles can be applied to most multi-day events. However, when it comes to back-to-back marathons or longer, your preparation will certainly be more complicated, although basically the same idea applies. Like anything, though, the key is preparation. Train like you'll race. Train like you'll race. Talk to other people who've done the event, too. That'll help because every race is different. And keep in mind that for any multi-race event, one of the things you must practice, like I've said many times, is nutrition. Continually tweak that in training, and by race day, you'll know what works best for you. Because when you're doing several races on back-to-back days, then your nutrition has to be adjusted accordingly. Similarly, you've got to determine what gear will help, how to carry your nutrition, what to wear, every element of the event. It's all about rehearsal. During training, it's more important than ever to keep a detailed journal. The more detailed and specific you are in your journal and, of course, in your training, the better chance you'll have of success. Now, there are a couple of problems I see with these challenges, but if I tell you them, then perhaps they won't be a problem for you. One, some people tackle challenges too early in their running career, and that can lead to injury. In fact, it almost always does. Master the individual race distances before moving into these challenges. Remember, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Number two, some people go out too hard in the first event, leaving little in the tank for the later races. In a case like this, where you're racing on two or more days in a row and doing two or more races, don't work on speed until the last half of the last event. If you're an experienced runner, of course, you can shoot for a given pace, one that you've successfully practiced. But be reasonable and for heaven's sake, don't push it in your first event. That strategy is likely to ruin the whole weekend. Like any other kind of running event, if you're careful, give yourself plenty of time to train logically, listen to your body, and taper appropriately, you should have an excellent race weekend if you do one of these challenges. And you will likely look forward to doing that same challenge again the next year to try to improve your performance. Just keep in mind that you have to go into these events with an entirely different mindset and accept that you're not running for time, but rather endurance. Give yourself plenty of time to train and train like you're racing, and you should be good. And now a few shout-outs to people who've recently left an iTunes review. Thank you to Joffdiz and Empower. And thanks to these people for their comments on the Facebook wall. Thank you, Kyle McKenna, Maria T. Vigil Kennedy, and Julie Brownell Simmons. Linda Tubner commented about my last podcast episode, which was about how to be light on your feet. She said, I love this episode. Super helpful for me, and I've been putting the tips into practice. Jason Meador said, Coach Voiles, enjoying the podcast. Thanks so much for the cadence suggestions. I'm still working on getting up to 180, but it's already made a tremendous difference in how my right Achilles feels after a run. I was overstriding and I didn't realize it. I think of all the comments and feedback I get, whether online or from local runners or emails, improving cadence is the single thing that seems to have the greatest immediate impact, whether in making people faster or in eliminating pain somewhere in their legs, knees, or feet. But even though I hear this often, Jason, I never ever get tired of hearing it. So thank you for your comments. Now I have two quotes today, the one I planned for the end of this episode and one I just came across this evening. Here's the first. We do things not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Of course, that's from JFK. Then the second quote is about teachers. It doesn't have anything to do about running. As you may know, I used to be an English teacher. For 15 years, I taught 8th through 12th grade English and journalism, but mostly I taught 9th and 11th grades. Anyway, I know many teachers, and they're near and dear to my heart. They never get enough credit, and I don't believe most people have any idea of how much impact they have on the world. So, When I saw this, I thought, I've got to share it. It's from Donald D. Quinn. If a doctor, lawyer, or dentist had 40 people in his office at one time, all of whom had different needs, and some of whom didn't want to be there and were causing trouble, and the doctor, lawyer, or dentist, without assistance, had to treat them all with professional excellence for 9 months, then he might have some conception of the classroom teacher's job. I love that. The only thing he left out was that they would make half as much money as, say, an auto mechanic or something like that. So anyway, it's a great quote, and that's it for today.